Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to deep dive minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach. I'm giving air fist bumps.
You are fist pumping for some reason.
Because you said it from memory.
Oh. I mean, I've been saying it mostly from memory. Have we changed up words here and there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But we're here now, and we're going to talk about some Dune. Specifically, yes. We're going to talk about standing in a rainstorm for an ungodly amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Last week, we ended our last minute talking about the conversation between Gaius Helen Moheim and Lady Jessica, and how Jessica was basically going against everything that she was told by the Bene Gesserit by giving Leto a son, even though she was directed to give him a daughter so they could continue their weird, like, interbreeding, crossing bloodlines thing. And we ended that minute with Moheim saying, "On Arrakis." And then it stopped.
Yes.
So we didn't know what was on Arrakis. Now we do. On Arrakis, we have done all we can for you. A path has been laid. Let's hope he doesn't squander it. In this case, he is Paul, who Jessica believes is the Kwisatz Haderach, the cream cheese hat rack, as it were. But it seems that she might be one of a very, very, very few of Bene Gesserit who believes that Paul is.
Yeah.
His.
Yeah.
And by very, very, very few, I mean just her.
Before we get into that, I want to talk about what is this path? So a path has been laid out for him. Let's hope he does not squander it. Any idea what they're referencing there? Or would we have any indication what they're talking about at this point in the movie?
From the from a first time movie watcher perspective, I think it just means like, hey, we did this.
Yeah.
From you and I, we know exactly what this path is.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I think it's just like a for the movie watcher, it's just like a we did what we can. Good luck kind of thing.
But it seems weird because presumably all of this, the stuff we just watched over the past couple of minutes takes place within probably an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, maybe.
Sure. Yeah. No, they're just there for a quick social call.
Yeah. Moheim does not feel like Paul is, or she has a lot of doubts about Paul.
Oh, yeah. No, that's very, very obvious.
From yeah.
Everything we talked about last week.
And then, I mean, and she scolded Jessica for wanting or for her pride and all that kind of stuff on the last episode. And, but now it's like, okay, well, we helped. We helped a little bit. So I don't know. I felt like it was some mixed signals a little bit from her.
I think she's just saying like, look, at this point if we're putting in more work on Arrakis, we're just like,
yeah,
being redundant. Everything's been laid out. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, this is a very specific, or this is mentioning not by name, but a very specific thing in the books. It's mentioning or referencing, excuse me, the Missionara Protectiva.
What's that, Zach?
I butchered those words. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
This is referencing the Missionaria Protectiva.
This is referencing the Missionaria Protectiva.
See, it's hard.
Fuck. You have the text in front of you, motherfucker.
This is referencing the Missionaria Protectiva. And that's about as close as I'm going to be able to say it to correct. So so this is a concept that exists within the books. It basically explains like how the Bene Gesserit have embedded themselves in cultures, in different cultures.
Sure.
And they're basically
going back all the way to their like Mesopotamian times.
No, or is this more recent? This is a recent thing. So when they started, well, recent in the last couple of centuries.
Relatively speaking. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Within the last 10,000 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So the encyclopedia says that, you know, crossing bloodlines like this and, you know, all this intermarriage and everything that they do. It has a purpose, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yep.
But it can be a very fragile thing, right? And it's one mistake or a misgeneration or whatever can throw off a lot of stuff.
Or you get into a weird Habsburg-esque situation where maybe, you have
maybe so.
Too much inbreeding and weird cross bloodlines.
I don't think they do that. They keep too good a
notes. Yeah, no, we talked about this already. But
So what they did is they have planted themselves in like parts of their society, the Bene Gesserit society, via like folklore and sayings and just like mythos. They've injected their own beliefs into the core beliefs of other societies, to where for the reason of if a Bene Gesserit sister needs to go do some work on a different planet, she'll already have that like foothold into the society.
Gotcha.
To be able to operate.
Is Jesus a Bene Gesserit psyop?
I don't know. I haven't looked yet, but I have a vague memory of him actually, of the encyclopedia mentioning Jesus.
Of course Jesus. It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Arrakis,
does that make Bene Gesserit sisters like cryptids on planets where they shouldn't be?
I don't think so. I think that's a little far afield. So what this means on Arrakis, and this is not spoiling anything really. I mean, they pretty much explicitly say this in a couple of minutes from now. But this is, this is them spreading the stories of a coming Messiah.
Sure.
And making all these like prophecies that are, you know, as most prophecies are, you know, very vague and all this stuff. And that is the prophecies of the quote unquote, the one.
Very, very generic.
Yeah.
Capital yeah. T, capital O.
Yep. So just wanted to introduce that. As we go forward, I'll try to, like point out things that were planted by the Bene Gesserit inside of the Fremen society.
Yep.
Just so we can see exactly how deep that kind of infiltration goes.
Sure. I mean, we're not going to get to it this week, but
no.
we will have a lot more to say on the subject.
Oh yeah, for sure.
As the movie carries on.
Yep.
But we're here to talk about this minute. So after Moheim says, "We've done all we can for you. A path has been laid. Let's hope you don't squander it." She turns away, starts walking back up into her giant egg ship. At this moment, we see Jessica's like emotional, what I call her emotional wall crumble. And she just you know how when you have some kind of interaction and you're like super high stress and then like you feel all that stress go away and your body just like,
Yeah.
That's this moment for her.
Yeah.
And she's like kind of like lightly sobbing, you know, whatever. And she begins to regain her composure.
Yeah.
But as she's regaining her composure, the egg in front of her is just taking off with all these way too many lights on it, honestly. Way too many lights. It's just taking off. It's blowing all this wind and rain and shit into Jessica's face. Like,
That's the necessary amount of lights.
I need you to see this screenshot that I have in my notes. And I know this is terrible for
an audio
podcast, but it's such a funny screenshot because it looks like Rebecca Ferguson was like put in front of one of these giant industrial fans, like maybe 3 feet in front of it. And they just blasted it and like threw a bunch of water into it. And it just like blasts her right in the face.
I think this is the necessary amount of lights, and space OSHA would be very, very pleased.
No. That's like when you have that asshole behind you that has like the bright LED lights,
lights on a city road.
Or it's like, I mean, we live in Georgia, so there's a lot of people with lifted trucks and shit here because, you know, why not? And they have the giant LED bars on the front of their cars that just go right into your rearview mirror at night. That's what I thought of when I saw this this egg taking off.
So I have a couple of notes about this, and I don't know.
About the egg?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
I mean, nothing profound or anything like that. Just some observations. So it looks like it was a, like it started to lift off in a fairly normal manner. We hear the, as the ship lifts off, and then we just hear the pop, and then it's gone, and then it's silent again.
Yeah.
So it looks, seems like it had like fairly normal and quote unquote normal engines. Sure. And then it just like popped into some kind of like hyperdrive or something to get up into space again.
Normal engines to get it high enough off the ground to not just completely destroy everything around it when it leaves.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Nothing, not that it matters or anything. Just an observation that I noted.
Sure.
But you're right. Yeah. So, surprise, surprise, Paul standing there behind Jessica, which makes me think like he wasn't exactly hidden back there. So Moheim probably saw him, like directly saw him behind Jessica.
Maybe.
You have to believe that they did, because it was 15 seconds ago.
Yeah, but she was like, at this point, she had turned around and she was walking back towards the castle.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And the fog here is thick. So
he is in all black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. Minus his pale ass face.
Yeah.
But anyways, so. Yeah, no, I have a note in here. Paul's just been standing in the mist watching and creeping on his mom.
Yeah, pretty much.
At this moment, we just see Jessica's just like Paul in a
oh shit.
Yeah, kind of tone.
What did you hear?
Well, he kind of answers that question without her asking it. And he's just like, what does it mean that I could be the, and then our minute ends.
Yep. So I guess that means that Jessica never told him either A, about the Kwisatz Haderach plan at all.
Yep.
Or B, never told him. If she did, she has mentioned that part of the thing to him. She's not mentioned his involvement in that plan.
It's like your family, like, you know, everyone's dad has dad lore that you don't find out until you're in your 30s or whatever, right. About some shit that your dad did when he was younger.
Yeah.
I feel like this is that kind of situation here.
Yeah,
like she has clearly explained to him, and I'm sure Thufir Hawat and Gurney Halleck and Duncan Idaho have explained to Paul their own perspectives on the Bene Gesserit and everything. So like, that's, I'm sure Paul's fair. Over his life heard so many things about the Bene Gesserit, but obviously as any secretive like society or organization, they're going to have more that they're a little more
secrets.
Keep things under wraps.
Yeah. Ulterior motives. Yeah. Secrets. I don't know.
That's the word.
Yeah, you're probably right. I doubt she would have told she would not have aired out all the Bene Gesserit laundry.
No, she's not
like
just
over like a dinner party or something. Yeah.
No.
But yeah, that's where the minute ends.
Where our minute ends.
Could he be the, and then what? We'll never know. Well,
he's
not until
the delivery
tomorrow.
Guy. Surprise. His new job is, to deliver pizzas on Arrakis.
All right. Anything else for this one?
Nope. It's a pretty short minute, actually.
Yeah.
All things
considered.
I mean, half of it is watching the egg taking off and Jessica getting her composure back.
Yep. All right, cool. Well, let's continue on tomorrow to talk about minutes 31 through 32. And see exactly what does Jessica mean that Paul is, what he could be.
You'll have to come back. In the meantime, if you have anything that you would like to bring to our attention, or if you have any questions or anything, you can reach out to us on formerly Twitter. Mm-hmm. We'll only refer to it as Twitter, at Dune Minute. You can email us, DuneMinute@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram at The Dune Minute.
That's right, at The Dune Minute. All right, cool. We'll see y'all back tomorrow.
See you later.